Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to crush, humiliate, and totally destroy your competition in your fantasy football draft. It's incredibly simple, so let me just break it down for you. Ultimate Draft Kit. The Ultimate Draft Kit for the fantasy footballers is hands down the best fantasy tool in existence. I mean, come on. It's got sleepers, it's got busts, injury updates, full projections. This thing's even got full dynasty rankings. Don't overthink this. It's the only wingman you'll need this year. Head over to ultimatedraftkit.com and grab your copy right away.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Woo. Somebody's extra juiced over there. I wonder why.
I gave it a little extra there, didn't I? Tuesday, July 27th. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers.
Two incredibly savvy dynasty players and Jason.
Oh,
take
brother.
That. Your trade sucks.
Wow, you didn't like that trade.
I hate it.
Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yes.
Since you're one of one of the two great dynasties.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a championship in that
I
league?
Don't.
Do you have two championships in that league?
I don't.
Do I? Does Andy?
Yeah.
That's why I said Andy's.
He was saying we're the two.
Right. Yeah.
No.
That was what I was saying.
No. Even Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Every once in a while, people
did
get lucky.
Did he win two?
He never won two, though. Oh, my gosh. We have such a jam-packed show today. There are rumors. I have updated my rankings more in the last, 24 to 36 hours than I had in the previous week, just with so much news happening. Training camp's about to start.
Yep.
And, we're in it. It's go time. Five shows a week starting in August, coming very, very soon.
A week from today,
so
as some
exciting.
Say.
Yeah. So today we've got the NFC North, the final divisional breakdown, timing up as well as it could with some information out of Green Bay and speculation, whatever you want to call it. We have news and rumors to talk about. We've got a new segment we're breaking out on the show today. I'm excited. And I just made a dynasty trade for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes, you did. I'm welcoming Mark Andrews back home to the team that drafted him and made a mistake
full circle
in letting him go. And he'll be coming back home.
Is that what happened? The one that got away?
The one that got away. It's like, sometimes you've got to undo your mistakes, right? The Eagles let Frank Reich go, and they're like, man, we shouldn't have done that. Let's try to get someone from his staff back. And this was like, okay, I shouldn't have let Mark Andrews go. Andy got a title with Mark Andrews. I need him back. So
yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be taking a chance, throwing Noah Fant out there as my starting tight end next year.
Yeah, yeah. But you've got now, and I hate that this is true.
I hate it. Yeah, I'm very excited that this is true.
But you have Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Ezekiel Elliott all on the same roster now, which sucks, and I apologize. But for since we're talking about it,
yeah, you got to
the trade was Zeke and Fant for Robbie Anderson, Mark Andrews,
Raheem Mostert,
and a first rounder
and a first round pick,
and that completes my since this is the Green Bay episode, that completes my evacuation plans for Davante Adams. So I turned Davante Adams into that group. Plus another first, so two first rounders, and it's a little bit of a rebuild.
We will see. I mean, we've had teams in that league. You guys know it, playing dynasty out there, where your starting roster. We've had people run out a better four pack of running backs in that league and have them finish dead last. So dynasty is tricky. Obviously, I gave up some depth in that trade, and we don't trade with each other a lot. Like, it feels like the first step of trading with one of you guys is breaking down the barrier of being on full guard and posturing. Like, we should be able to have a normal conversation to trade with one another.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is whenever there's a player I want and I go, oh, I want to make an offer for player X, and then I look up who's got player X, it's one of you two, I just go, oh, crap.
Forget it.
Never mind. I don't even make an offer.
Which really means you just want to take somebody for a ride.
Yes, and more so.
That's right.
When you see that they're on my team, you go, oh, I'm going to have to overpay.
Right, exactly. And I would like to not do that.
It's true. It's true. Hey, check out the Ultimate Draft Kit. You heard our good friend at the top of the show talking about
Todd.
Todd
Cruz.
C-R-U-Z-E.
I think that's pronounced Cruz.
Cruz. Todd Cruz. You can find that at ultimatedraftkit.com. Our community, if you're interested in getting in a great league with great people, that is one of the many perks that you get at jointhefoot.com. So our community, we have forums. People have connected for local and online leagues for years now. And you can join about 14,000 other fantasy football fanatics. And very proud of that community and the people they're in. Mm-hmm. TheFantasyFootballers.com for the rankings and the profiles. I think it's time to break out new segment.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Presented by Traeger Grills.
I'm so excited about
delicious.
This. So excited. Jason was the feature there on the drop if you were watching it. But, where there's smoke, there's fire. The rumor mill, the stories out of camp, all of the speculation in the fantasy football world. We're going to take a little look at a few stories each week and basically answer the question, is this just smoke or is this fire? First one, a big story. The Athletic is reporting that last year, with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup already on the roster, the Cowboys felt like the best way to throw CeeDee Lamb into the offense was lining him up in the slot, and that's what they did. He was primarily a slot receiver last year. But they say now the plan is to move CeeDee Lamb into multiple spots on the offense.
Now, the quote, those days appear to be done.
The slot days.
Yes. Yeah. We've talked about this. My biggest, not complaint is the wrong word, but just my biggest knock for projecting CeeDee Lamb moving forward was the fact that he was 100% a slot wide receiver, and it's difficult to be a true difference maker, a real breakout star, when that's the only place that you're lining up. Not that you can't.
Right.
But the odds are against you compared to the outside receivers or guys that are moving all around. And that was like, that's holding me back. We've never questioned the talent of CeeDee Lamb. He's a sensational prospect and proved last year he's ready to play with the big boys. But what are they going to do? Like, is it because Gallup is going to be on the outside? But boom, here we have this news. And I am buying the fire here of we all made a very seismic change in our rankings. On top of that, you have Amari Cooper not ready for training camp, word on the street, but the street being Jerry Jones.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
He's out
it's
of the
a gold-plated street.
He's a beat reporter.
Yes.
And he said he thinks that Amari Cooper will be back after the August 13th, whatever. It's
preseason game.
They're playing the Cardinals. And that's a lot of training camp that somebody else can come in and become Dak's fan. And Dak hasn't got to really play with Lamb very much. This is a lot of time for Lamb to establish that relationship. And this story also said that Lamb has been by far the most impressive player in the camp thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I told you guys recently that I've just been changing my opinion here with how I have Cooper and Lamb statted. And this is new information that just amplifies that. There aren't a lot of players that have the physical ability to be a top five wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb has that ability and in an offense that could throw for 5,000 yards.
Right.
And so those two things make it very interesting to me because sometimes the best, you know, the talent finds its way. Like I was still leaning towards raising CeeDee Lamb in my rankings just with the way things were trending, even if he was in the slot. Hearing this news, multiple spots, mismatches, he makes plays that other receivers can't. He makes plays that I don't think Amari Cooper can make.
No way. No way can Amari. I mean, like, I love Amari Cooper. I've been Mr.
You have.
I've been hanging with Mr. Coop. But the reality is CeeDee Lamb is a superstar, and Amari Cooper is a very good.
He's a Roddy White to the Julio.
Exactly. That's a great comp when it not necessarily in the physicalities of each player, but a great situational comp here because Amari Cooper is special. I mean, you saw that in his rookie year. He's unbelievable out of the slot. So this one, yeah, I'm hot and bothered here.
Fire, then. We're going fire.
Fire for sure. We're taking it up. Oh, we're 500 degrees. He's full, you know, he's going to have a sear.
Yes. All right. So we're in on that. And you can see, I mean, I have CeeDee Lamb ahead of Amari Cooper, not by a lot, but both of them inside the top 20. All right. Assistant coach Deuce Staley made it sound like DeAndre Swift's role could significantly grow in 2021, saying that you want your star and three down back to have 25 touches per game. That's a lot of smoke with big time fantasy football implications.
I think that is what it is.
Just smoke.
It's a lot of smoke. Look, he's their best offensive player. He will be very involved. He'll be involved in the passing game, but he is going to be splitting time with Jamal Williams. And if you just talk about the amount of smoke that has come out of Detroit this offseason about both Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, it's just pick the day of the week. Who are they talking up? Who's the 1A? Who's the primary back? Who's got the hot hand? It's just like they have to report things, and they talk to these coaches, and they're like, oh, he's great. I don't think for one second that this team would be good enough to allow a running back to get 25 touches a game. You have to end up winning games to run the clock out and hand the ball off that much. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, so I guess devil's advocate for me would be whether they're – I mean, 425 touches on the year, I don't think that's happening for DeAndre Swift. You have to ask two questions, though. One is, like, if he had a bunch, what would that mean, being on a Detroit team that we're going to talk about today? Here's a spoiler alert. It's not a high win total out of Vegas. The other devil's advocate point is, like, you look at last year, and they lost a lot of games, and he didn't touch the ball a ton, but was still very fantasy relevant for a big stretch of the season.
Very efficient and surprising amount of touchdowns.
Lots of touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but there could be some sparks in there is all I'm saying. Like, there could be some embers coming up that I hope I'm not missing out on.
So some pellets are heating up.
Yes.
I've got him as my running back 14.
The auger is working.
I do think he's going to be good.
Where do you have him?
Running back 14 right now. I think he'll be involved.
Yeah, but you're not buying 25 touches.
I'm not buying 25 touches. That's just, it's not in the even possible range of outcomes for him.
I have him at 16, and it's so strange. Like, DeAndre Swift is such a tough player because he is great. He absolutely is great. And we saw it last year. He was over efficient with the work he was given. But are you excited at all? When DeAndre Swift falls to you, you're like, okay, here it is, my RB2, grabbing DeAndre Swift. I have not once in a mock draft or anywhere, any of the drafts I've done over the offseason, have I gotten DeAndre Swift on my team and was like, boom.
I would be excited with him as my two.
Oh, I'm not. And I totally understand what Mike's saying.
Because that's a high two, 16.
I have him sandwiched, literally right in between. So one spot ahead of him is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm super excited for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Then I have DeAndre Swift, not excited. And then after him, I've got Najee Harris. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have fun, baby. I think it's just the stink of the Lions. That's all it is. They haven't proven to have a great running back since Barry Sanders. We all know that. Even when they've had good running backs, you know, Ameer Abdullah was talented, but it just couldn't work out. We've gone through the ringer with Kerryon Johnson, and I do think we as a show.
Yeah, guilty by association over there.
No, you loved Kerryon, and you know it.
Oh, I.
Yeah. Oh, you. The don't go check the tape. But yeah, Swift is the most talented, but this is mostly more smoke than fire.
Okay. That was Where There's Smoke, There's Fire, presented by Traeger Grills. You can get that amazing pure wood-fired flavor when you cook anything on Traeger Grills. Mm. And with Wi-Fi, you can grill from anywhere using the Traeger app. You can get it all set up, use your Wi-Fi phone.
It is the best.
Yeah. Oh, what is my meat at? Oh, perfect temperature? Yeah. Let me go get it.
I will admit I grilled many a time while watching Monday Night Football this past year. All right, visit Traeger.com/footballers for more info. News time.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Well, well, well.
What are you referring to, Mike?
The Green Bay situation.
Okay. Well, this is hard. We end up.
I'm not looking at the show, Doc.
No, I know. There's news breaking live while we're recording this show, 1 p.m. Pacific, the day before it's released, about Aaron Rodgers. Now, today's the NFC North show, so every bit of information coming out is valuable to us right now.
We have timed up some incredible things with this show.
Yeah, because we could have recorded this morning.
Yeah.
But we were hungry, so we got food instead. And that really benefit. Once again, food pays off.
We did it.
But I kind of want to transition into the divisional breakdown with this news. So let me blitz some other headlines so people know what's going on, and we'll get right into the divisional breakdown. The Texans acquired Anthony Miller from the Bears. Anthony Miller, wide receiver, was a high pick, a second round pick, showed potential at times, but was not long for Chicago. Texans have accumulated players this offseason. We're going to talk about the Bears more on the show today. I love Darnell Mooney. The opportunity is clear for him, but we'll pause it there. Deshaun Watson, reported for training camp, still wants to be traded. They are now listening to offers for Deshaun Watson. They're asking for 3 first-round picks or more.
Or more? Wait, what?
If you'd like to pay more.
We only want 3, but... We will accept 4 or 5.
That's like our dynasty trade just now where you're like, if you'd like to also include James Robinson, I would take him.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, thanks.
I mean, but you could have. I left the gate wide open for you.
Look, Deshaun Watson's not in our projections right now.
Right.
Because we don't know where he'll be and we don't know for how long. The NFL is going to have to rule in some capacity on eligibility.
There's looming over Deshaun Watson. I mean, one, this whole thing that he hasn't wanted to be in Houston, and then you have the 22 accusations in civil court of sexual misconduct. So that is part of the deal for if a team wants to trade for him. So this is far from over what's going on with Watson.
At this point in time, I've thought he will play some this year, but it looks like a trade would have to happen. Then you're going to be waiting for a suspension. So we'll react as the NFL gives us information. Dede Westbrook signed with the Vikings, so...
Yay!
Mediocre signing of the week.
Mike, would you have been happy if Dede had... I guess there's no situation.
Done something years ago? Yes.
There you go. All right, we'll leave it there. There's also a report out of Jets camp that they'll use an RB by committee approach, but keep an eye on Michael Carter as the eventual 1A in that group.
Yep. I think that's how we all have seen it this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then Joe Burrow cleared for training camp. That's big news.
That's great news. He's participating in 11-on-11s. He's not going to be thrown out there. You probably won't see him in the preseason. I'm guessing his first action against an enemy will be in week 1.
Okay.
Against an enemy?
Well, someone that's going to really tackle him and go for it. You know, I'm sure that his own team is probably not crushing him at the knees right now.
Dak Prescott practicing in full. A.J. Brown cleared to start training camp. And Beckham feels great. Don't know when he'll be a full go, but I think he'll be recovered in time for the start of camp.
Feels great. I just can't play football right now, but feeling good.
All right. There is so much more to talk about with Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, but they're the first team we're talking about in the divisional breakdown. So we'll get there momentarily. That was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper. Switch to the Sleeper platform. They're the fastest growing platform out there.
And before we talk Packers, want to thank IP Vanish for sponsoring today's episode. They are a virtual private network. Everyone needs to have the ability to turn on a VPN in important situations. You can put it on your computers, your tablets, your phones. It'll protect your data, make sure it's encrypted, what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, it's protected. You know that you can have confidence in what you're doing. If you're on a free public Wi-Fi, you're protected. And right now, it's 65% off. It's just $3.49 a month, or $31.49 for the year. You get an anonymous IP address.
You address.
You circumvent online censorship, and they've got great support. Very, very highly rated. And again, they have plans starting at just $31.49 a year. So this is the time to sign up. With our discount and their promotional offerings, you can get it for 65% off. They are the best of the best, rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That is with more than 6,000 reviews. Show them some love. They've sponsored us for a long time. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/footballers to get the deal and start protecting yourself online today.
Let's get divisional.
Now we can talk about it. The NFC North breakdown begins with the Packers, 13-3. This is our final divisional breakdown show. We've been through each and every division in football, been on the way through the NFC, been excited to get here, intentionally delayed this division because we knew that we needed to know more information, and now we have more. Couple days ago, because this is how the world works now, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers both go post the same NBA Last Dance Instagram story of Pippen and Michael Jordan. And so my initial response to that, everybody thought, okay, there were reports that Aaron Rodgers might retire. The sports books have changed the win total for Green Bay.
Well, they had pulled it.
They pulled it, yeah, and it's been changed. You'll hear the win total I have now for Green Bay is 8.5. It was 10.5 all summer.
There's no way that it's at that.
So it's probably nowhere right now, and it will be back at.
If you get 8.5, congratulations.
Yeah.
But so my initial reaction was, hey, one more year. That's what it meant to me.
Yeah.
One more year for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams has made the news recently. They had negotiated towards a long-term deal. They didn't reach one, which means this is his last deal. Our last year on his deal. So just drama galore for Green Bay. But just now, or actually a few moments ago, we received an update that the Packers are close to finalizing a one-year deal, essentially. A renegotiation with Aaron Rodgers that would free him from the Packers after this season, which is one of the things, like earlier this morning in the studio, I was saying, hey, what are the odds that these two guys go somewhere together next year?
Right.
And pair up again.
I hope it's high because
take their talents to South Beach.
Yeah, I mean that right, that would be great because that means he probably wouldn't go to the Broncos, and you would have Noah Fant.
Well, Adams, because Devontae Adams is on the last year of his contract. He can be franchised though.
That's fair.
So the team still has control if they want it.
And if you're just hearing this news now, the contract. For next year would be voided for Rodgers. They wouldn't be allowed to tag him. So they would be negotiating towards just bringing him back for this one year. So that's the news we have right now. I think we had all pretty much statted our Packers towards the return of Aaron Rodgers because that's the most valuable information for you out there. But I think at this point we can assume
it feels locked in.
They're bringing him back.
We had primarily statted him that way, but I know that I nerfed a little bit of my Aaron Jones ranking because when you're at the beginning of the first round, the second round, if you had been doing drafts, there was obvious risk with Aaron Jones, to spend that kind of capital. Now I'm confident in him. This whole Packers offense, I mean, it's fantastic to have this news now. Obviously, training camp is starting for the Packers, and they're going to be able to, you know, have that last dance. And I think the expectation now needs to be Aaron Rodgers trying to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay is going to scorch the earth. He's going to do whatever he wants. I don't think he cares one iota what the people above him are going to tell him to do. He's going to go out there and play how he wants, throw the ball when he wants to throw it, and just try to put up stats and win games.
Yeah, and I mean, last year he was the MVP. They were number one in points per game in football after they passed on drafting him a weapon. So is that a counterpoint that they bring up to him? Like, you scored more points than everybody in football without us doing that?
Yeah, and then he says, you drafted players that sat on the bench.
Yeah, and the truth is they were amazing. He was amazing last year. Number one in passing touchdowns. hyper efficient, but that's what Aaron Rodgers does.
Yep.
Dominant in this division. They're 11-1 against NFC North rivals in the last 2 years.
Is that true?
Yeah.
11-1.
11-1.
Oh, man. Could you imagine the other three teams' fan bases right now? They had the glimmer of hope. They're like,
yeah. How are you doing, knowing that you moved, you tried to be proactive and get max value for Davante Adams, and you traded him to Brooks in our Dynasty League?
Yes.
Now, Brooks, you might have, are you excited about this news?
Oh, yeah.
That's as excited as he gets.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. I think the value was there. Obviously, he's going to be playing here 1 year, and unless he's – I mean, I don't even know if it's better for him to be franchised or to move on, because if he's franchised – yeah, for Adams, then he's playing with Jordan Love.
Watch him trade for Watson.
Oh, man.
Because they'll be gone all year.
So, Jason, with your Aaron Jones projection adjustment, do you have him ahead of Saquon Barkley?
I have him right behind Saquon Barkley. They're next to each other, running back 6 and running back 7, respectively.
All right, so Rodgers, do we expect him to repeat what he did last year? Because right now, obviously, his ADP is nerfed. It will change. He is the quarterback 8 right now, but that is going to change with him securing this deal. I mean, 12 games of 3 or more passing touchdowns last season. It's not like we haven't seen explosions like this from him before. It reminds me of Peyton Manning, right? Where you had some years where he was hyper efficient, big numbers. You had some years where it was a little bit lower.
It will come down, but when I say it, there's a few reasons. You have this was the best touchdown rate of Aaron Rodgers' career. He had hit the 9% mark really his back in 2011, but 9.1% of his attempts turned into a passing touchdown. That is absurd when you look at it, historically. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but essentially when someone has enough passing volume and they hit that type of a mark, you can expect that to regress by at least 2%. Now,
which is a huge amount of touchdowns.
Yes,
you're going to lose a lot.
But that still keeps him in that 7 range, which Aaron Rodgers can easily hit that threshold. So, yeah, he's still going to be solid for fantasy football, but that natural regression coming off of an MVP year combined with the natural regression for passing touchdowns across the league because of how many we saw last year with the shortened off season. So yeah, things are going to come down, but Aaron Rodgers should still be a top option for fantasy football. And if you were able to buy that dip in drafts, I was watching some friends do a best ball draft, and there we're in the double digit rounds.
Yeah,
and there's Aaron Rodgers just hanging out. It's absurd to see where he was going. I mean, I get it. Like, people were freaked out that he wasn't going to be there or retire, but if you got it early, congratulations.
For an example, 8.6% is what Mahomes had during his 50 touchdown year. He dropped to 5.4, then 6.5. 6.5 put him at 38 touchdowns after. So, you know, just giving you a perspective on that kind of a change, Jason. You were saying something?
Yeah, for sure. I was looking at the last 8 years of Aaron Rodgers. While he's been one of the best in the league, in his prime, he has averaged 5.9% of his passing attempts as a touchdown. So to be up at 9 is very, very high. That would have been 32 touchdowns last year based on his passing volume if he were to throw what his average, which his average is way above, you know, NFL average is around 4.5. He's 5.9. So, yeah, I mean, you expect Tonyan to not have as many touchdowns, Adams and Aaron Jones to not have as many receiving touchdowns necessarily.
Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are the new backfield. Jamal Williams is gone. We'll talk about him later in the show when we get to the Lions. But A.J. Dillon, week 16 last year, went 21 for 124 and 2. Kind of a little taste of what his quadriceps are capable of.
Oh, what could have been for my dynasty team?
Oh, with Aaron Jones potentially leaving?
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're okay.
I think
you're okay. You'll get to play A.J. Dillon this year. I believe that.
I do too.
Here's the question I have about A.J. Dillon. And there was some news earlier regarding A.J. Dillon that I didn't bring up in our Where There's Smoke, There's Fire.
Essentially, they're just saying they're going to get they want A.J. Dillon more involved, and it's inferring that they want A.J. Dillon more involved than Jamal Williams was last year when Aaron Jones was healthy.
Because they're different, because Jamal Williams was involved in the passing game.
Yeah.
My question to you guys is, what does a great A.J. Dillon season look like? on the stats side? What is a great year for him?
I would say a great fantasy season for him would be that he becomes the goal line guy and ends up with 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, which is really the crux here, because I don't think they're going to utilize him as a pass catching specialist the way that Jamal Williams was used. So you're talking about maybe he gets 200 carries or close to that, a good amount of yards, and it's really about the touchdowns to me. And the nice thing here is I would so much rather have a situation like this year than last year, where this year you could encroach on the goal line opportunities with the quads in A.J. Dillon, but that opens up more passing work for Aaron Jones, where he is truly electric. Think Alvin Kamara-esque in the sense of he doesn't get as many rushing attempts, but his passing volume is where his fantasy points really come from. So I think both players could have a very solid fantasy output this season.
I think it does it threaten Aaron Jones? Because he has been such a high touchdown player.
If Dillon's the goal line back, then yes.
Because 16 touchdowns on the ground for Jones in his number two finish, 9 last year. You're right. I mean, he's a very valuable pass-catching weapon, but it does seem like the team doesn't want him on the field all the time. I guess, what did you do with Aaron Jones with the news that Jamal was leaving and with A.J. Dillon's resurgence?
So, like I mentioned, his passing work went up. His touchdowns came down. I have him with 80 targets this season, which would be up from his 63 last year. But his rushing touchdowns down and those going more to A.J. Dillon. I've got A.J. Dillon with 7 rushing touchdowns.
If you believe that the touchdown percentage for Rodgers is going to change, just based on, you know, how anomalous that is, then you still believe they're a great offense. You still believe that, you know, like 2 years ago, maybe you do have 15, 16, 17 rushing touchdowns open to be grabbed by both players.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah, but it is important to note that when we talk about all this, you know, touchdown throwing percentage, it's not that all those touchdowns are going to be run in. That team as a whole was just exceptionally efficient in scoring. I think that the Green Bay Packers will still be a good offense, but they're going to score fewer touchdowns in 2021 than they did last year.
What do we do with the wide receiver room outside of Davante Adams? Is he? I mean, he's firmly atop your list now.
Oh, yeah. He's my number one wide receiver. He's too targeted, too great at the in the red zone and at the goal line. He should be everyone's number one wide receiver, in my opinion. I love Tyreek Hill. You know, Hopkins is great, Diggs. But Adams, now that you know Aaron Rodgers is there, I can't make an honest argument for him to not be number one. As far as the rest of the wide receiver group, there isn't one. There isn't a rest of the – there is – there's one wide receiver on this team. It's Davante Adams.
Mike, is there any value anywhere else for Aaron Rodgers?
If there is, like a really late round flyer, if you want to take it on Alan Lazard, I am okay with it. Those the first 3 weeks of last year, I mean, he was a top 14 wide receiver in 2 of those 3 games. Then he got hurt. So if there, I'm more with on Jason's side that it's Adams and then the occasional touchdown to Robert Tonyan. But if there's value to another wide receiver, people are excited for Amari Rodgers, their new the rookie wide receiver they took in the 3rd round, I believe. But to me, if it's any of them that has value on a consistent basis, I'd still bet on Lazard.
You guys will find this interesting because Jason just brought up, like, you're not necessarily going to see the running backs score more touchdowns. This will back up what you're saying. 2 years ago when Aaron Jones had the big touchdown year, they had 18 total rushing touchdowns. Last year, they had 16 total rushing touchdowns as a team. Their passing touchdowns, or receiving, I should say, went from 26 2 years ago to 48.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty incredible to go more than double, or basically.
Almost doubled.
Yeah, truly almost doubled. An insane number. And the reality is part of that is because when they got on the goal line, they were as good at Davante Adams touchdown as they were as rushing a touchdown in, which is abnormal.
Robert Tonyan, right now being drafted as the tight end 11 with the Aaron Rodgers doubt. Will that go up, and is it worthwhile? Because to me, he is the biggest, like, he was just too efficient catching touchdowns last year for the total volume that I'm afraid he's going to be a wasted pick that people feel committed to, right? You take that tight end in the middle rounds, Let's say he goes in the sixth round all's said and done.
I would not.
You would
be
feel committed to Tonyan.
Yeah. Middle round.
11 touchdowns last year.
Middle round tight ends. They don't work out. And I know that that's a point for Jason's of avoid Kyle Pitts. But for Robert Tonyan, the ninth round, great. I mean, if you're going to punt the position, you're going after a tight end, you want them associated with a quarterback who's going to throw a large amount of touchdowns. This was my point in favor of Gerald Everett, if you want to go with him at the end of the draft. So as long as Robert Tonyan stays 8, 9, maybe in the back of the seventh, I'm okay with it, but I would not take him in the sixth round.
Okay. Shall we move on? Anything else with the Packers you want to discuss?
No, I think we've exhausted it.
Is Devin Funch still on that roster?
I think so.
Can we get Brooks, can you please vet that? This is very, very important.
Yeah, very important. One second.
I'm not sure I have the ability to even hit that drop, but we need to really...
Devin has scrumptious?
If he's on that roster, we need to really... You need to tell me if he's on the roster. What do you got for me?
Hit it.
It's been too long.
It's great. It's good to have him back. Last time we did that, he got hurt again. So hopefully we can avoid it. The Bears.
We called him Devin S. Scrumptious.
Yeah.
That was you, wasn't it? Of course it was you.
Yeah. I mean, it
Mr.
started
Von
as
Bunches?
Count Von Funches Bunches. I don't know. We're a weird show, man.
I think that won nickname of the year that year, too.
Are we? When we look back at how stupid it is, does that mean we're growing up?
Nah.
No, I mean, I'm just highlighting.
Darnell Anderson.
I still love it.
Okay. All right. The Bears were 8-8 last year. Trubisky season is over.
Oh, man.
And they only had one win versus a team with a winning record. Managed to beat Tampa Bay last year on Thursday night. It's a new quarterback room in Chicago. And they welcome in Andy Dalton. They drafted Justin
Burley
Fields.
Dalton.
Oh, with the beard?
Oh, man.
I was.
Upgrade.
Wasn't I Andy Dalton for Halloween last year?
Yeah. And you had to shave your face.
That was 2 years ago. Last year, I was Cliff Kingsbury.
Nice.
But yeah, I had to shave my face, and now I could have just dyed the beard red.
He's looking good.
It's very red. It's a red beard. It'll probably help. I mean, you're in Chicago now. It gets cold.
Yeah.
Right? Like it wasn't cold in Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the Bears didn't score more than 30 points in a game until week 14. I would say that they were kind of a gritty bunch last year. They battled their way to 8-8 despite all the problems at quarterback. They figured it out on the ground towards the end of the year. Say what you will about the matchups they had. Lots of people have great matchups that do, sure. And they do nothing against them. David Montgomery strung together 8 touchdowns in a 5-week span as the running back too. And then we don't know what the Andy Dalton, Justin Fields process is going to be. I have some Bears fan friends, said that awkwardly, that think, you know, remember what happened when Trubisky was drafted? Didn't we go into the year with Mike Glennon? It's going to be the,
yep.
Remember they paid him to be the starter, and it was like one game later or two games later they had made the transition. So best laid plans, they fall apart under the weight of losses.
I have Andy Dalton down for 2 games. I do think he starts the season. I think they pull the plug quickly and will make the transition to Fields. But that, I mean, there is, while I believe that, there is very little other than looking at the history of this coaching staff and trying to project how good each player will be. Outside of those, you know, pieces of the hypothesis, it's mostly a guess. And so the reality is when you're betting on Bears right now, you have to just say, we don't know who the quarterback is. The range of outcomes are either an Andy Dalton who's not great.
Which
or,
he was not last year.
Exactly. I mean, nobody, you know, the Dak to Dalton was a huge, huge difference for the Cowboys. Or you've got a rookie quarterback, even if you love Justin Fields, which I think all three of us do.
Yeah.
A rookie quarterback is not the best for the passing game. So... I think the
it's interesting because we've been going into the year projecting this team with trash at quarterback every year.
Yeah,
so it's not like we're really working from a different, worse position necessarily.
Can't wait for next year.
There's actually some upside and some potential. They start the season and it looks like it has 2-2 written all over it. in Los Angeles taking on the Rams, at home against Cincinnati, on the road against Cleveland, at home against Detroit.
I think Justin Fields...
I think it'll be a little while.
I was going to say the exact opposite.
Week two.
It's week two or week four, Justin Fields will be starting.
I am not there. I'm not there
Sacrifice yet. Dalton in week one.
If Andy Dalton had shown anything last year.
He would have been paid to be a starting quarterback this year?
Yeah, it would have been a lot easier for him to find a job, number one. And it's like digging into what's going on with Matt Nagy. I mean, how is he not on a hot seat here?
Getting close.
Like, coaches have to deliver, and you didn't deliver with your other rookie. I mean, I feel like this team has a better future if you're getting to Justin Fields sooner than later. I don't feel like Andy Dalton is going to game manage this team into wins.
His quote, because let's go not just on what we're feeling here, because sure. Obviously you got to read the situation, each of us do. His quote on June 15th was this, and the headlines were different than the quote.
Who is he?
Sorry, Matt Nagy, head coach of the Bears. He said, no, Andy is our starter. He said again, but he did say this. He said, again, I can't predict anything. You know how it goes. There's so many things that can happen between today and that week one, but Andy is our starter and Justin is our number two, and we're going to stick to that plan. So it sounds... somewhat hilarious, because it's like, we're going to stick to the plan, and the plan is that anything can happen.
When your plan was, you went out and you recruited Andy Dalton, and you said, sign with us because you will be our starting quarterback. Yeah, I mean, you did that because you were not expecting other teams to pass on Justin Fields. And like, how do you sign him? I mean, I get it. This is just like speaking as a human being, as a man. How do you tell this guy you're going to be our starting quarterback? And like a week later, you draft his replacement, and you're like, well.
This quote is great.
He says, starting for us, okay.
He says, promises, as we all know, can get pretty crazy.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I mean, we know it. Promises are insane.
Oh, they're wild.
Where's the cards?
Oh.
He said, promises. He said, promises can get kind of crazy, but what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows.
Promises get crazy, but listen to this, guys. Listen. We told him he was the starter.
Is that how you imagine the conversation with your kids? Now, son, daughter, promises can get kind of crazy these days.
But I love you.
Okay, I'm with Mike now. By week four, Justin Fields should start. But that still doesn't guarantee special.
I know Dad said he was buying a pony for career. Promise the pony. Promises get crazy sometimes.
Yeah. But they did add Damian Williams to the backfield. There was news recently. The knee, Tariq Cohen's knee is not okay.
Right.
Like recently, stiffness started on the pup. He's not going to contribute this year. There's just no way. He's too old. He's too pedestrian. They want David Montgomery to be the starter, and he's going to be.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen is nothing. And for fantasy purposes, I had a friend hit me up, text me. They were asking for advice on a dynasty trade, and they were excited that they were going to get Tariq Cohen thrown in on a deal. I'm like, dude, no, don't even bother. Don't like go get someone else.
I feel like if you try to drag and drop Tariq Cohen onto a dynasty roster, it vaporizes. It just disappears when you do that. But Allen Robinson. Back-to-back top 12 finishes despite bad quarterback play. He is solid. That is the best way to talk about Robinson. The odds of him being prolific in a new way, I don't think they exist this year with the combination of Dalton and rookie quarterback. He's not going to win you the week, right? But he will probably be, you know, you talked about having, you were talking about DeAndre Swift as your RB2. What about Allen Robinson as your wide receiver too?
Oh, that is a fantastic thing because you've got a little bit more volume and upside. Like, I like Robert Woods as my number two, and Robert Woods does not have quite the volume and the market
share. So you like Robinson more.
That Allen Robinson has. Allen Robinson's great. I mean, he's as close to locked into RB or wide receiver 12 as possible. Finished as wide receiver 12 last year, the wide receiver 11 the year before. I don't think he has top five upside, but I don't think he can fall much past, you know, wide receiver 15. He's just kind of this safe guy who, if he gets 150 targets, he's good for fantasy, and he gets 150 targets.
I want to talk about Darnell Mooney, who is one of my favorite up-and-coming young players in the league, although I am worried that we may be 1 year away from having Justin Fields solidify the spot and then provide a lot of upside for Mooney. But with Anthony Miller departing, you know, he was fifth among rookies last year with target share, despite the bad quarterback play. Remember, how many plays was Darnell Mooney open deep and the ball landed catastrophically far away?
Just have a real quick search on Twitter. You'll find a good highlight package.
Here's some really interesting data for you. If you look at every wide receiver over the last decade that saw 95-plus targets as a rookie, which is what he saw, 90% of those players had at least one top 36 season in their future. The majority, 76%, had at least one top 24 season. So everything I saw in film from Darnell Mooney told me he has a bright future in this league. I just don't know if it means anything this year.
Yeah, like, Darnell Mooney, there was like, you know, just the whispers out of Chicago, of course, and this is all rumor mill, but it's like the drafting of Darnell Mooney, people have said that kind of saved Ryan Pace's job, the GM of Chicago, that he hit on such a late round wide receiver.
Yeah, and so you didn't really see a ton of big games from him last year, 5 for 69, 4 for 49 and a touchdown. He did end the year, final week, 11 catches for Darnell Mooney, inflating some of those season-long numbers, but he will have an opportunity.
Yeah, and those target numbers that you mentioned, they are sticky with those wide receivers as far as the correlation to their future success, because targets are a talent stat.
Yeah.
Targets are earned. Targets are something where it's like, it's not just you're the only wide receiver in town. You got open and you gained the trust. So
does that explain John Ross's lack of talents at the NFL level? Targets.
I mean,
I should have
synonymous.
Said lack of talent. Oh my God.
Talent shares.
How many
synonymous.
Talents does he have? Not many talents.
Yeah. So I would say Mooney is a very nice dynasty target right now, because even if this isn't the season, you know, assuming Justin Fields takes over at some point, the halfway point or whatever, the rookie Justin Fields or this current version of Andy Dalton, I'm not excited about them supporting a wide receiver two, but going forward, he projects to be a really solid wide receiver two. And Allen Robinson is actually he's a franchise tag guy. He could be gone and Mooney could become a one here, and he showed enough on the field. So I like targeting Mooney quite a bit.
So year three, he could go to the Mooney?
Ooh.
I like it. I like it. Little
on the nose.
Little corny. But that's on brand.
Jimmy Grandpa Cole Kmet, the tight end room.
Also now Jesse James.
Just stay away. Stay away from all of them. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's what you should do. Cole Kmet, yeah, we're all excited. No, just stay away from the room. Jimmy Grandpa did not retire.
No, he did
and
not.
He ended last season with a one-handed amazing touchdown catch. He is annoying in the red zone. He had 8 of them
last year. Many touchdowns as Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Kenny Galladay combined in 2020.
Oh, come on.
Which is the stat he would read you if he heard you making fun of him. All right. What do you think the win total is for Chicago? Give me your guess.
Those stupid
stats. Those stats are great.
Two guys who essentially missed the entire year. I'm just going to throw their names
in. One guy who didn't catch any touchdowns. What was your question, Andy?
Win total. What do you think Vegas has the win total at for Chicago?
I would say you're going to be a 9. I would say above 500.
I'm going under than that. I'm going lower. I'll go... I'll put him right at 8.
7.5.
Ooh.
That's because...
Get bodied.
I'll give you a hint. This next team has a higher win total. The Vikings.
Yeah.
Last year, 7-9. Started out 1-5. Finished 6-4. They were 6-5 in one-score games. 11th in points per game as a team. They lived in the red zone. Third most red zone plays per game of any team, which is great for Dalvin Cook fantasy managers and fantasy production. Guess their win total before we get into the discussion for Minnesota.
I'm gonna go 9.
I'll go 9.5.
It's 9.
Dang it.
It's 9. It's 9. Which you imagine Green Bay will be back up at 10.5.
I would imagine, yeah.
So Vikings coming in at number 2 in the division. Very efficient last year. You know, Kirk Cousins is such a difficult player to talk about. Sometimes I feel like we waste people's time talking about him because I don't know if you should ever play him. He is a streamable quarterback. I'll put it there. But that's it. I mean, week 10 on, he was the quarterback 3 in all of football. He was a top 12 in 6 of 8 games. So that shows the ceiling, right? You can stream Kirk Cousins when you get it right. And he has dynamic pass-catching weapons. But I don't know if, you know, he still finished at 18.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, no, he didn't finish at 18.
No, no, no.
I'm
He's
sorry.
Being drafted as 18.
He's being drafted at 18 this year. But he certainly didn't finish as a top 12 quarterback last year.
Yeah, or you mean quarterback 11?
Is that where he was?
Yeah. He, look, Kirk Cousins, I think two of the last 3 years has supported two top 12 wide receivers.
Like, so he's at 6.8 touchdown percentage last year, which was the highest of his career.
Definitely the highest of his career. He is more of a efficient type of a quarterback, a low volume. And what you saw, you know, in 2019 was that the volume was simply too low. 444 attempts. That was it. Like, that's so low for a starting quarterback, especially when you're talking about fantasy purposes. Now, they had to let it rip more this past year because the defense was so bad. The defense is going to be improved. Kurt, I'm with you, Andy. I'm not drafting. I mean, I haven't projected right on that fringe as a top 12 guy, but he's far more suited for if you had Cousins as your number 2 guy in a super flex league, I'm very happy about that.
Oh, it's very solid.
And you can probably wait a little bit on that, but you're not taking him as a 1 despite all the weapons around.
Well, it does remind me a little of the old Big Ben debates, okay? Because Big Ben, Kirk Cousins, they're not running the ball, right? They're passers. Sometimes you have, even Matt Ryan, sometimes you have the higher touchdown total year. He had a couple of number 5 finishes in Washington. Last year, he battles into the top 12 at 11, has big-time weeks. But for some reason, you know, you just don't know when that fluctuation is necessarily going to happen. I kind of buy into the narrative that Jason's brought up a lot this offseason. Last year was a very weird Mike Zimmer defensive year, right? They were awful. They were the, you know, they spent $41 million in guaranteed money to fix the defense so that Zimmer doesn't have a heart attack watching what they did last year where they were 29th in points against.
Here are some of the points given up by the Minnesota Vikings last year. 43, 40, 31, 31, 33, 52, 35. Like, these are not numbers that we have ever seen from a Mike Zimmer defense. And you're right, Andy. You paid a lot of money. You went out and, you know, you talk about teams like watch their transactions, you know, the money where their mouth is thing. They are at least attempting to massively fix the defense that was horrific last year, which is what scares me for Justin Jefferson taking another step forward into, you know, fantasy statistic glory, or Kirk Cousins repeating the high passing attempt number over the year prior. I think this is a team that prefers to run the ball and was not able to as much last year because they're giving up 30 plus points on the reg.
An interesting observation on Kirk Cousins. Andy, you were saying he doesn't run, which is absolutely true. But he did have some really high-level fantasy finishes in Washington.
Touchdowns?
And rushing touchdowns.
I remember he had
years. 3 straight years of 4 or more rushing touchdowns. And
didn't have Dalvin Cook in Washington.
And a, like, statistically, the real big difference between Washington and his Minnesota time, like, the most glaring difference is those rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and last year he had 35-plus passing touchdowns. It was the lowest fantasy finish ever for a quarterback to have that, QB 11. So things have to go perfectly right for him to be outside the top 10. That's where I'm starting to just pump the brakes.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook is being drafted number 2 overall everywhere. 312 carries, 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns last year with another 44 catches and a touchdown through the air. High floor. That's what Dalvin Cook gives you. Only 2 games outside the top 24. But still a huge ceiling. I mean, he won you weeks, except for when Irv Smith stole his touchdowns at the end of the year.
Irv.
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook should be drafted number 2. The only argument you could make against that is just health and the fact that he's dealt with a lot of different injuries. He's had a couple of major catastrophic knee injuries. He's got a shoulder injury that has a high rate, historically, statistically speaking, of being re-aggravated again at some point in the career. So if you wanted to avoid injury risk there, that's the only reason to not take Dalvin Cook at two. And everybody can get injured. So I'm not pivoting off of him as my number two.
Justin Jefferson's going in the third round. He's the wide receiver 8 off the board. That doesn't seem too expensive for me. 1,400 plus yards last year. It's not statistically likely that he's able to come out and repeat that.
No.
But I also saw a player that was, you know, worked into the lineup, right? That number was reflective of still starting the year with very few snaps.
The first 2 weeks, he was not a big part of anything that the Vikings were doing. It wasn't until week 3 where he really got involved. So factoring that in, I mean, he was just
truly... That was a 1,600-yard pace. So if he drops down to 1,400 this year...
Yeah, he was truly amazing. I don't have a problem with drafting him as the wide receiver 8. I've got him right now as my wide receiver 9. So he's about that range. And of course, while I expect him to be worse this season fantasy-wise than he was his rookie season, which is not the normal trajectory, but normal doesn't count when you have the greatest rookie wide receiver season of all time, there is still the world where he just gets better, and you have upside baked into going into his second year where you say maybe we just still amazingly haven't seen the best of him yet.
Well, you know Kirk throws a great deep ball. You know Justin Jefferson was the best at that during the year, and he only scored in 3 of the last 10 games of the season. So
what a loser.
I think that's the area where he could improve even if the yardage doesn't stay high. Thielen's going in the 5th round, middle of the 5th. Are you drafting Adam Thielen there?
Man, I went into this offseason like, look, Thielen's still great. He's going to be amazing. Because watching film last year, he looked amazing. You could not stop him at the goal line. I have seen absolutely nothing to say Adam Thielen has slowed down, and I can't get myself to pull the trigger on him.
Ooh.
When I'm staring at him in a draft, because it's just like you don't want to be holding the bag at the age 31 cusp, and you're like, it's a run first team. Jefferson's the one now. Is this going to be the time where the touchdowns don't come and you're just really disappointed? That's Mike, how I feel.
Mike, would you rather run out Robert Woods or Thielen as your RB or your wide receiver 2?
I would go with Robert Woods.
I would. As well.
I'm very concerned for Adam Thielen's upside this year.
Upside. I think that's a good way to say it.
I think he'll be fine, and it's drafters are being savvy about it. When Adam Thielen was at the heights, he was not going as the wide receiver 21. But it's,
you know,
seeing him get up back up to the top, I don't see it there.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, the Adam Thielen you used to have was one that had a floor that was higher than the one we saw last year. You know, you had 5 times outside the top 40 over the last half of the year. 2 catches, 3 catches, 3 catches, 2 catches. That wasn't something that you ever saw from Adam Thielen in days gone by.
Adam Thielen has been a top 10 wide receiver 3 times in the last 4 years, including this past season. But see if you can spot the difference in how they came. One of the times he had 91 receptions, one of the times he had 113 receptions, and last year he had 74 receptions. It is dicey.
Yeah, Irv Smith, we've talked about it. He's currently being drafted as the tight end 12. I think the world is higher on Irv Smith than the 3 of us are.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
They are. But this is one of those, whatever. Tight end 12, Kirk Cousins could be 30-plus touchdowns again.
So Irv Smith, can he break into the top 6?
Absolutely. Absolutely he
top
can.
Top 3?
No. No, this is still a team that's going to run the ball a lot. It's just touchdowns. Kyle Rudolph is gone, which is great for the opportunity for Irv Smith to take that leap forward. He certainly projects as someone who could do that. So I'm fine if you want to take your shot on Irv Smith. He's just not the guy I have been taking my shot on.
Okay, the Lions were 5-11 last year. What do you think their win total is at going into the season?
4.5.
You're probably right.
I mean, 5?
It's 4.5.
All right, there you go.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it.
They were 5-11 last year, but they started 3-3.
Yeah, but they are...
They're not the same team.
They're also curling, you know, 110-pound dumbbells.
Oh, right now with Dan Campbell?
Yeah.
He's got them going?
Oh, Guns Mahoney.
It's actually incredible. Everything that you mentally picture about who the Lions are, just erase it from your brain. This is might as well be an expansion team from Detroit, because Stafford, Galladay, Marvin Jones, Amendola, Peterson, Kerryon, all gone. The new Lions is Jared Goff, Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perryman, Jamal Williams, Darren Fells. This is the NFC Texans, at mm-hmm. least on paper, right? Like from a roster standpoint.
It's a two-team race for the number one pick.
It sure it feels that way, although I will give, like, I think the Lions are going to fight their way to some wins that we don't see coming. I mean, it happens every year in the NFL with certain teams. You know, we just talked about, Chicago knocking off Tampa Bay on Thursday night and things like that. I think the Lions are going to fight tooth and nail. Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. Anthony Lynn leading that offense. And Swift and Williams. I don't know. I would probably take the over. Does that shock you?
Well, no, they set the line at a place where you're questioning. I mean, 5 wins is not a super high bar to get to, especially in a 17 week season. But I understand what you're saying. This is a team that is literally trying to build themselves about grit, about mental toughness, and being the more testosterone filled team. And from week to week, that can work. From week to week, the problem is they don't have a ton of talent, and that's at the end of the day, that's really what's going to be what wins games.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you had a defense you could hang your hat on, these offensive players could piece together some wins. But being 32nd in points against, in the rebuild mode, new head coach, new coordinator, that does seem challenging. I didn't know this. Since 1957, no hired Lions head coach has ever gotten another head coaching job after leaving the Lions.
What?
So that is, I mean, Guns Mahoney had to make a decision here. Get your one head coaching job?
I don't know if he knows that stat.
he might not. So they've lost their I mean, the best quarterback they've ever had is gone. 60% of their running back touches last year gone. 90% of their targets. I mean, Quintez Cephas is the only wide receiver on the roster remaining from last year, and he had 35 targets for them. So, you know, this is all brand new. We do, Jason, you brought it up the other day. Jared Goff has, you know, we kind of have a tendency to make light of Jared Goff's situation because he went to Detroit. He wasn't the answer in Los Angeles, but he still provided fantasy value with Sean McVay.
Yes.
To a number of pass catchers in years past. So
obviously we've been big fans of Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp led by Jared Goff. The question really becomes, was it led by Jared Goff or was it led by Sean McVay? Again, at the end of the day, the talent on the field is what's getting it done. So you've got to give Jared Goff his credit. He is not a bad.
Oh, introducing Jared Goff.
But Jared Goff.
That doesn't help me take him more seriously at all.
He can get the job done. The problem is he doesn't have Robert Woods. He doesn't have Cooper Kupp. And he doesn't have Sean McVay. So this is why I like Swift as my running back 14, because I think that the dump-offs will have to come, and I like T.J. Hockenson to really level up. Like, T.J. Hockenson is going to be a solid tight end this season. I think he leads this team in targets. I think he is the best pass-catching option on the roster. I don't know
you
that
think
that,
he leads the team in targets?
I think he leads the team in targets, yes, because Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perryman, the hodgepodge, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the hodgepodge
you're,
of wide receiver.
You're talking about then like 90-plus targets.
You're, I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know what?
If you're leading a team, then you...
115 was his pace for the first 14 weeks last year with Stafford, with Marvin, with Kenny G, although injured.
He was
on 115 target pace through 14 games.
I have Hockenson down for 135 targets. That's why when we talk about the breakout, the problem
all
is...
Right.
Will he get the touchdowns to really level all the
difference
way up to
make,
that next tier? And I don't think he will, but again, I think he's a solid option, a really good player this year. I have a difficulty drafting him at, you know, if he's going in the fifth round, there's really, really good wide receivers there. And if he doesn't get the touchdowns to follow the targets, I'd rather stream the position and have depth at wide receiver. It's just a game strategy. It's nothing against T.J. Hockenson, but I do. I think I would be surprised if he doesn't lead the team in targets.
All the big tight ends, Kelsey, Waller, Andrews, Kittle, We're all in that 24-25% target share number. Last year, Hockenson was at 18. So if you think he's going to make the jump forward, look, a bet on the Lions is a tough bet for me to make in general. But I can see it. I see the path because I don't know how to tell you which of these wide receivers to put your, you know, to bank on because somebody's going to have value.
Mm-hmm.
This is the NFL, right? Like there's somebody that's going to step forward on the field.
Jared Goff is not a bum.
Right.
You have to stop him from passing
there,
at all.
Well, I'm saying that there are teams out there where the quarterback play is just like last year's Jets. I guess even Jameson Crowder had a couple games here or there. But,
sure.
But if the quarterback is garbage, then there may not be value on the team. But Jared Goff is an okay, competent quarterback. So I'm with you that I think there will be value to extract somewhere. I need the telescope.
Yeah,
to find
I agree with you, and that makes me actually circle back to Andy. You saying you'd take the over on the 4.5, and I kind of agree because I think that's probably about what the Texans are. And if I look at the quarterback situation there, which is the most important position on the field, Jared Goff is miles and worlds and yards and all sorts of distance metrics better than Tyrod Taylor.
Is several tutus better?
Oh yeah!
If you lay him down, like how tall he is.
Well, did you see that they're going to try and modify the tutu?
That's right. They are looking to add weight onto the tutu.
Now, he just went on the COVID list today.
But that's not going to help him put on the weight.
No.
But do remember that no matter what he gains, he still remains
one tutu.
Yeah. Right. So if you're heavier and you're trying to be fewer tutus,
right.
This might be great news for you.
If you don't care about the change of weight and you just want the tutu number.
Like the baseline is changing.
Brashad Perryman, Tyrell Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Quintez Cephas. That's the wide receiver room. Vacated targets? Yeah, all of them, pretty much. Perryman, to me, I haven't seen Amon-Ra St. Brown at the NFL level. Tyrell, to me, looks done. Cephas, I thought, was okay. But Perryman has actually impressed me at the NFL level in recent years. So when you look at all of those things considered, I like Perryman the most. Now, a Detroit beat writer came out and said, if I were a betting man, I'd take Amon-Ra St. Brown and a healthy Tyrell. So maybe Tyrell was just too hurt, but I don't know if he can stay.
Well, Tyrell did not play all of 2020.
Like he'll be 30 this year.
He opted out for COVID and was actually good the last time that we saw him for the Raiders. So I do think that
he opted out for COVID?
Yeah. Right?
I don't think so.
I thought he was like one of the absolute first guys to opt out. Maybe I am misremembering that. We will vet that. But I thought he opted out for COVID.
No, they placed him on season-ending injury reserve on September 1st of last year. Torn labrum in his shoulder. Uh-oh. Was trying to play through it after rehabbing.
You might be thinking Damian Williams, Jason.
Yeah,
I remember Damian Williams. No.
Oh, okay.
But I like you trying to bail me out.
Well, Williams.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Perryman had that moment in time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was great.
And Joe Flacco.
It was.
He had some weeks with Joe Flacco.
It was very fun, and he
didn't he have some weeks with Joe?
He week 9 last year against New England, he was 5 for 101 with 2 touchdowns. But he also dealt with his own injury problems. He had an ankle problem this past year.
Yeah, I mean,
but
all right,
really
pass.
Not much. So
pass.
Would you rather?
Maybe the rookie is where you go.
Yeah.
Would you rather take a shot on one of these guys with a better quarterback, if you're talking the bad teams, or with Brandon Cooks with a worse quarterback?
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and maybe even one other Texan above these four. I don't know. All right. Anything else with the Lions that you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Who you got winning the division?
The Lions. Just kidding.
Jamal Williams, is he going to be flexible this year?
I do think so. I think
could he stretch?
A lot of yoga.
Can he do a lot of?
Yeah, I think he can do downward dog just fine. But I would say he's going to be involved enough to be a flex option, and that will make us very, very upset.
I was
going to
say, is it
managers.
Just going to make you angry if you're a Swift manager?
Yeah.
Division winner, we all have the Packers.
Yeah, yes. I will take the Packers.
You know what? Man, it's still I really like Minnesota. I really, really do. I got the Packers. All right, toughest player to project in the entire division.
I mean, DeAndre Swift is very difficult.
Yeah.
I say David Montgomery. I just keep going back and forth on whether he's going to be very, very good.
I'm gonna spend my summer trying to convince you.
Yeah, you need to. He's my tough one.
Yeah, and then
I'll say Tonyan because there's no reason he can't do it again or have an increased workload, and I don't want to just discount him on that front. You know, he was important, earned the trust of Rodgers over the year, and that trust can go a long way. And then sneaky player?
Damian Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
I am going to throw out Breshad Perriman. Because I believe the reports right now of Tyrell being the one, but Perriman is decently talented and all alone.
I'll say Mooney for the sneaky player.
Yeah,
and
good.
Then who has the highest testosterone in the division?
Oh, the Lions for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We hadn't asked that about other divisions. I don't know why we left that off there, Brooks. It's our fault. It's our fault. Okay. I think that wraps it up. We do want to thank the sponsors of today's show. Look, the sponsors support what we're doing here five days a week and all the episodes and live content and stuff that we do here. We want to thank Traeger Grills.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Got that brand new segment earlier. Dude, we are all absolutely in love with Traeger, have been for years.
And
Jason has more than one Traeger Grill.
I do.
I have never looked in the mirror and thought, I'm looking at it, that's a griller. Right there.
No.
I've never thought that about myself. And then got the Traeger. I'm working my way up there, but that's what it is, man. I have never, up until I got the Traeger, I had my chicken cooking skills were
zero.
I could burn it.
I
could burn the crap out of it. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's ready yet. And the Traeger makes it just so...
It's wonderful. You sit inside with the little meat thermometer and
you got the Wi-Fi on there.
Yeah, and you just get alerted. Your chicken's perfect. I could not be a bigger fan of Traeger. Make sure...
You know, I like the pellet. I like the pellet game where I can mix and match pellets that I like the taste of.
Yeah,
the flavor.
Get some cherry wood in there. But if you're going to check them out, go to Traeger.com/footballers.
You got it.
That's the link to visit.
And then, of course, we want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show as well. Check them out. You can use our code BALLERS. If you're looking for an autographed piece of gear, you always see them up on our wall, but you can check them out at pristineauction.com. And like I said, use the code BALLERS. They'll give you $10.
Our Adams jersey lives for another day.
Yeah, there were some more rumors that he may be open to an extension now on the team.
Was that before
after
1 year?
After they figured out that Rodgers would be back, that, you know, they, I don't know if he was, it was a stonewall or something. I don't know if they were working together in cahoots. But I'm going to go stare at my dynasty roster at these running backs, and we'll call that a day. Foot Clan, we love you. Thanks for supporting the show. I'm going to go on a little trip. Does that sound all right?
It sounds great to me.
Be back soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.